In his new book, Saving Christianity, Dr. Michael Youssef reminds us we cannot reinvent Christianity to fit our society. Learn about the dangers of undermining our faith, how to distinguish biblical truth, and have a renewed confidence in the future of the church. Go to www.thesavingchristianitybook.com. Again, thesavingchristianitybook.com.
Welcome back to the Hope for Your Marriage series. I'm Marty Pieper, and I'm delighted to introduce my special guests today, Robert and Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth. Both of them have super impressive resumes. I'm not even going to go into all the things they've done in the Christian publishing and speaking world because I'm sure I couldn't. But more than that, they have a deep love for God and for each other, and that's what I know they're going to share with us today. So I just want to welcome both of you.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you, Marty.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. Now, I have, not exactly in my hand because I read it in electronic form, but I have a new book from you, kind of a different thing for you because you're both authors among your other things that you do, but you have a new book together called You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. And I know a lot of times on this podcast, because we're talking about marriage, we're not necessarily talking about a book, but yours has a special relationship to marriage because part of it is your story, your own story. Before we do that, I want you to share a little bit about that. But before we do that, Robert, could you tell us kind of, I know as an agent, you ask authors to do this all the time, so I'm going to turn the tables on you. Would you share with us, this is my one chance, would you share with us the premise of your book?
Sure. Funny, I'd have to go back to the actual proposal, which I know your agent asks you to do when you're getting ready to write a book.
Yeah.
So I don't have it in front of me. That you sprung that on me. But and actually the subtitle of the book, Marty, really says it all. The subtitle is Embracing the Mysteries of Providence. So we had the joy in the process of writing this book, not only to tell our stories, which is actually a small part of the actual book itself, but the privilege of sitting down with folks, some by phone, some in person, to listen to their stories and to see how God's sweet kindness shows up through what they're going through, what they went through, what they're about to go through. And that really, that's all of us. We are all either having come through something, in the middle of something, or about to step into something. And so embracing the mysteries of providence really sums it up pretty well.
That does. Now, one of the things that you do early on, very early on in the book, is unpack that word providence, because it's not a super common word today. Nancy, would you explain that just a little bit in case our listeners aren't familiar with the word either?
Sure. It's actually not a word that gets a lot of use today, but it used to. And I think we need to bring it back because it's such a sweet gift from the Lord. The word providence, pro, before, video, to see. This is speaking of a God who sees everything before it ever happens and who not only sees what's going to happen in our lives, but orders every particle of this earth, every happening in this universe and in our lives. And before we ever come to it, he not only sees what's going to happen, but he goes before us and he makes provision for what we're going to need when we get there. And so it's a God who cares for us, who knows everything, who is good, who is faithful. And so when we land in a chapter of our story that catches us off guard, we're saying, oh, that's not the script I would have written for my life. I don't want that chapter. We know that we're not going through it alone, that God has been there before us. He is with us as we walk into that storm, and he is going to carry us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to meet every need. So we are carried. We are held. We are secure. We are safe. Because God is a God of providence, which doesn't mean that we can see it all or understand it all. That's why the word mysteries in the subtitle is really important. Embracing the mysteries of providence. There's so much we can't see, so much we don't know. We don't know the outcome of all this coronavirus stuff going on. There's so much that is unknown, way more that is unknown than that is known. But in the midst of that, we trust that God does know, and that he is for us, and he is with us, and he is good, and he can be trusted.
That's exactly right. You know, as I was preparing for this interview, I was looking back, and I actually got the pitch about it from your publicist in the fall when the book released, or closer to the time that the book released. And I was moving at that time, and I didn't respond right, nearly as soon as I should have. But as I was reading your book, I thought, how providential is it, how mm-hmm. God, that we're discussing this at a time when we are facing the unknown. Mm-hmm. So a certain God in the midst of an uncertain time for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, Robert, go ahead.
It's interesting, isn't it? This happens in crises, whether it was 9/11 or a tsunami across the world or the COVID-19 pandemic, that people set aside sometimes their differences and concerns and turn to the Lord. And so this is what you hope in a situation like this, is that we don't forget what this felt like to be completely out of control and to rest in God's providence. That really is our prayer mm-hmm. as we come through and then out of this pandemic.
That you could really say it in two words, the two words, Marty, that Robert and I repeat to each other many times a day: heaven rules.
Heaven rules.
That's the providence of God. Heaven rules. That's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 2 in the Old Testament. But it's the message of the whole scripture, is that in every season, in every storm, in every piece and particle of history, the history of the world, the history of our lives, in our marriage, in our health, in our finances, in everything we're facing, when the story takes these unexpected twists and turns that many times cause our eyes to fill with tears, or us to grapple with fear or anxiety or stress, we look at each other and we say, heaven rules, heaven rules. And that's what gives our hearts calm and quiet and assurance, to know that a good, loving God knows what he's doing, and he's in control. He knows, and he rules.
Oh, that's such a good word. I wrote that down. I will have to share that with my husband. I've shared with our listeners before that my husband has, in the last few years, been struggling, and just recently has been diagnosed with an early onset dementia. But our prayer together through this is that God would glorify himself, that we would remain faithful to him. And as he writes this, for us, unexpected story, we would continue to remember him and show him to others. So heaven rules is a very short and simple, that, and I kind of need short and simple in my life right now. So that's a great reminder. Thank you for that.
We say it over and over and over again, and it's just being impressed on our hearts. And if that becomes your default, then when you're tempted to be anxious about things you can't control, there's a peace in that. There's a calmness, there's an assurance. And it doesn't mean you just, like, you don't feel it, or you don't have the problems, or the problems go away. But it does mean in the midst of it all, that whatever the outcome, and honey, maybe you could just tell a word about what we're facing, even just days from now as we're recording this, where we're having to remind ourselves that heaven rules.
I had actually the privilege of coming alongside my late wife from 2012, early February, to 2014, when she stepped into heaven, alongside stage 4 ovarian cancer diagnosis. And so I'm accustomed to being on the standing side of the bed. Now it looks like the Lord has called me to the bed, to the lying down on the bed, just reminding me I will lie down and sleep in peace. There it is. It's everywhere. But the Lord willing, I have surgery on Tuesday. And as you said, this might be aired after the surgery, so we will by that time know what the outcome is. But I have melanoma cancer, and they are taking off a portion of my ear and then going into my neck to examine lymph nodes. And so I have no idea. And there are no symptoms at all. I feel great. I work out every day. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a picture of health. I don't have any symptoms whatsoever. But you talk about the mystery of Providence. This is mystery. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea. And it may be just a few lymph nodes and I will wake up and all will be well. I have some reconstructive surgery to replace the portion of the ear that they took out. Or it could be worse than that. It could be many lymph nodes. And in fact, they've warned me that they may, on their way in, clip some facial nerves. So I may not be able to speak like this when it's finished. But, you know, we're doing everything we can to rest. And, you know, sometimes, I'm sure your listeners understand this, Marty. So it's right now, it's mid-afternoon. Looking outside, it's beautiful, the spring is on its way. But when it's like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning and you wake up from a restful sleep, and then you're lying there trying to get back to sleep, and everything seems larger, bigger, greater, tougher when it's dark and you're lying there surrounded by your own thoughts and perhaps fears. So this is real life for us. This is the front lines of trusting God to write our story. I'm incredibly grateful to have a wife who understands that, who stands with me, who encourages me, who reminds me of truth. And that's really what we rest on, God's word and his providence, his kindness, his truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing, Robert. And I know that even though your surgery will most likely be over by the time this airs, we can still be praying for you and for Nancy, and we will, of course. So.
And for you and your sweet husband, Marty. And, you know, our lives are, they're in his hands. We don't control the days, the happenings in our lives. And whether it's dementia or cancer or prodigals or financial, many people facing in this whole coronavirus thing, just financial stress and businesses going out. And it's amazing how these kinds of circumstances can remind us of what we should have been mindful all along. And that is that heaven rules and that we need the Lord. We are utterly dependent on him for every breath, and that he is good in the good times and in the hard times, when the sun is shining and when it's pouring rain or the storms are raging outside. God is still good. And I think these times have a way of just reminding us of who we are, who God is. And I've often said, I've been involved in women's ministry for many years, and I've said probably 1,000 times, anything that makes me need God is a blessing. Anything that makes us as a family need God, anything that makes us as a couple need God, talking about hope for your marriage, this is a lifeline. Anything that makes us need God is a blessing. Anything that makes our country need God or a church or whatever is a blessing. And we might be saying, oh, you know, I don't want any more blessings. I don't think I can handle any more blessings.
Why did you bless me like this, God?
Why did you bless me like this?
Yeah.
But if it makes us more dependent upon him and more leaning harder on him, then what could be a greater blessing than to, you know, when everything's going great, we don't have to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. If our bread's just there every day, if we don't have to wonder where it's coming from. I got to tell you something really sweet. It relates to this, trusting God to write your story. Last night, as we're anticipating this visit to the hospital, I was working late, and had a lot of stuff going on my laptop and communicating with people. And I'm close to 10 last night. I'm realizing we need some gloves and masks for spending a day. Can you hear me? Am I there?
Mm-hmm. You're here for me.
Are you there, honey?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I am. Sorry. Go ahead.
You're good.
I realized late last night we need some gloves and masks to spend the day in a COVID-ridden hospital.
hospital
this coming week. And there are none to be had that you can get here that quickly. I looked and looked online. I couldn't find any. And I'm going, how at this hour with the weekend coming, am I going to find gloves and a masks for us if we have to be out and about in all of this? And I'm not really a germaphobe, but there's
sitting in a hospital for a day. Careful.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to, long story short, by this morning, the Lord had provided a box of medium-sized, what I call is nitrile gloves, so kind of surgeon sort of gloves, and a box of large gloves, one for a box for Robert and a box for me, and two N95 masks, and two more on the way from a friend who found some that they're going to be here tomorrow, Lord willing. I mean, you talk about abundance. If the Lord brings somebody to our house who needs a gloves and mask, we'll have some to share. And I'm thinking,
you know,
last night I could not have imagined how the Lord was going to meet that need. But He says He cares for birds, He cares for flowers. How much greater worth are we to Him? And that's why Jesus says in the Gospels, don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Your Father knows what you need. As a couple, as an individual, in your marriage, in your work, in your every part of your life, your health, He knows what you need, and you can count on Him to write your story. He may not write it the way you would have written it, and thank God for that, but He will provide. And my heart was just so filled this morning to think the Lord knew, and His providence, He had seen that need before I saw it, and He was already at work making provision for us to have that very practical need met. How kind of the Lord is that?
Incredible.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I think this season, and it's those seasons that you spoke about, Nancy, when things aren't going the way, the story isn't going the way we would have written it with sunshine and roses and skipping through.
Mm-hmm.
When the story isn't going that way, or we don't know the end of the story, those are the times that really are blessings because they cause us to look to our Father. So, yeah, thank you for sharing. One of the things, and Robert, I don't know if you mentioned this or not, but the book not only allows you to share your story, your love story, your marriage story, but you also share stories from the Bible of people who are just like us. Bad things happen, or things that we deem as bad, difficult things happen. They don't know what God's going to do. And then in different ways, sometimes with outcomes we would consider positive, sometimes with outcomes maybe we wouldn't think of as positive, but in different ways, God shows Himself strong. Mm-hmm. So I loved reading those stories, and especially the way you intersperse those chapters with the more personal stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I know a lot of people listening to this are going to be familiar with you and your story, but we also probably have some who are not. Would you? I loved in the book, Robert shared Nancy's story and Nancy shared Robert's, and I don't really care which one of you answers, but would you share a little bit of your stories and how the Lord brought you together?
Sure. Be happy to do that.
Thank you.
Many, many years ago, we believe that our daddies met each other. My father was involved for many years with a ministry called Youth for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Samuel Waldemuth. My precious wife's daddy was Art DeMoss, who supported many ministries and had friends across the world, really, in leadership in ministries. So we believe that they met many, many years ago, but in 2003, I actually represented Nancy as her agent, her literary agent, and so she became part of my family, my life. We had times where my whole family and Nancy had dinner. We actually sang together. She invited us to sing together on Revive Our Hearts because she loves hymns like we love hymns. And so we actually made a makeshift studio in Orlando, Florida, and recorded hymns, singing hymns. She did a program on singing hymns as a family. And so Nancy was on the loop of my emails that went out every several weeks. So she was up to speed on what was happening. And then in 2014, she's out of heaven. then Nancy and I began what had been initially a professional relationship. We began to make contact with each other. She was trying to figure out why this agent was trying to reach her and catch up to her and catch up with her. So,
okay, honey, you have to insert here, honey, that I was 57 at the time and had never married.
Oh, yeah, that.
So, that was
and
unusual.
Weren't necessarily and looking to marry. Is that fair to
exactly.
say, Nancy?
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly. When I proposed to Nancy in May of 15, I said, I'd love for you to have the wedding of your dreams. And she said, I never dreamed about a wedding.
Oh,
so, you're exactly right. She was completely fulfilled as a single in ministry, loved marriage, was a great champion of marriage, but really never felt a call to be married. So, but before my late wife died, she told two friends, she said, I want Robert to remarry. And they said, yeah, we've heard that many times, but she said, there's more. I want Robert to marry Nancy Lee DeMoss.
I
and
read
so
that
she,
in the book and my jaw dropped. That's
true.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's true. So, but she didn't tell me that. So those friends told me that she had said that after Nancy and I were dating. So it felt like a sweet confirmation from the Lord, that the Lord had whispered in Bobby's ear. And and then I got a chance to pick my precious girlfriend at the time without feeling an obligation to my late wife. So as it turned out, it was a really precious confirmation of God writing this new story for me.
That's so wonderful. Do you have anything to add, Nancy?
Well, talk about surprises and twists and turns, unexpected twists and turns.
Plot twist.
Plot twist. This was not the story I had ever imagined for my life. And it actually took me a little bit to just make the mental and emotional turn and to say, Lord, is this really you? Are you sending this man into my life? And I'll tell you the sweet thing, Marty, when your life is the Lord's and you recognize that and you say, Lord, here I am, whatever you want me to do. You want me to be married? You want me to be single? You want me to have children? You don't give children to me. You want me to have this job or live here or go there or do this? And my answer will be, yes, Lord, to however you lead in my life. When you live your life with those kind of open hands for God's Spirit's leading in your life, you really can't go wrong, because the Spirit leads, He directs, He provides, and it's, you're saying, I'm available. So for all those years, I felt God had called me into ministry as a single woman. But when He, brought Robert into my life and began to change that story, God gave me grace and freedom and joy to move into that new season. I had embraced singleness as a gift from the Lord. And then within a period of weeks and months, I was embracing the gift of marriage as being from the Lord. And singleness was those 57 years were a sweet season. These last 4+ years of marriage have been such a joy, such sweet grace the Lord has brought into my life through this precious man. And so it doesn't mean that everything about singleness was easy or everything about marriage is easy. Everybody who's married knows that's not true. But it does mean if we're leaning into the story God is writing and saying, Lord, I trust that you're working in this and in this health issue my husband is facing. You're facing that, Marty, with your husband. I'm facing that with my husband. But we say, yes, Lord, I receive this. I don't resent it. I'm receiving your plan for my life at this moment. Then you really can't go wrong.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Part
so
of
to your earlier question, Marty, to your earlier question, we both love the Bible, have soaked in the Bible our whole adult lives. Nancy, of course, teaches from the Word on Revive Our Hearts every weekday, and really podcasts that go around the world. And so she loves the Word. And so we decided as we were putting this book together and shaping it that we would pull stories from the Old and the New Testament that underscore this amazing thing, embracing the mysteries of providence. And so some of our favorite stories, Esther, Joseph in the Old Testament, Joseph in the New Testament. And it was really a sweet part of putting all of this, to realize that the folks in the Old Testament that we read about were reading thousands and hundreds and thousands of years after they lived. But when they were in it, they didn't know. You know, Joseph's
exactly.
in the pit, and his brothers are strategizing his death. He didn't know. He didn't know what was going to happen. So all these people whose stories we are familiar with, when you snap the lens of providence on their lives in real time, it gives us a better appreciation of what it really means to trust God to write our story.
Yeah,
that's right. And so many of the stories in the book, the present-day stories as well as really all of them, the present-day and the biblical ones, really show us what trusting God looks like in all different situations. The way, as a writer and as someone who's had to organize books, I really appreciate the way you put it together, even the chapters, when you're longing for a mate, when you're struggling financially. I'm just saying by memory, I'm not looking at the list, but when you have concerns about your health, that all issues that we face in life, as well as in marriage. And so it was so encouraging to me to read the stories, as I said, whether they had what we might consider a positive outcome or not, whether God had already wrapped it up in a bow or whether the story was ongoing, the faith. I would love it. I picked out some favorite stories, but I would love it if each of you would share maybe just one favorite story from your book that really speaks to your heart today and would therefore also speak to our listeners' hearts.
You know, all of these people we talked with were dear friends of ours, some we've known for decades. So we didn't just go to, like, you know, Google and try to find illustrations of these
cute
principles.
Stories,
People we know, people we've lived with, and they were just precious, these calls or visits with people, and some of whom are going through or have been through horrendously difficult things, but have found grace and peace and joy even in the midst of the hard things. And one of them, I hope I won't steal Robert's favorite because we both love this one, but
it's a wife's privilege, Nancy. So.
Yeah, thank you. A colleague, a long, many-year colleague of mine in our ministry, had been diagnosed with cancer and knew that he was coming to the end of that battle in his mid-60s. And Robert and I went and sat down in John and Tammy Reifert's home, and he looked like he was so close to the end. I mean, just... the very pale skin and could not get up out of his recliner. And after less than an hour of conversation, he was in pain and we had to leave so he could get comfortable again. But we just talked with him about what's it like. He knew that he would soon be with the Lord, and we're sitting there not only with him, but with his soon to be widow, who's much younger than he. And I knew them before they were married, so I had watched their whole story unfold. He actually had lost a first wife just, I think, maybe 2 years into their marriage. She had died. And so he'd been widowed. Then he had met Tammy, and they had married, and they'd been through a lot in their journey. And to hear them talk about their, it was so many unknowns. And the things they did know, like that he would likely be gone soon, were not pleasant things to contemplate. But to see the peace of Christ and the assurance that God was with them, 3 weeks later, we were sitting in John's funeral. And now his widow works at the same ministry where I work, so I see her frequently back when we were able to go into the office. We can't go in right now, but when we were working from home. But I've watched this journey unfold with the hard things. I'll sometimes run into Tammy at the office and just, you know, weeks ago when we were still able to hug each other and would just say, how's it going, Tammy? And her eyes would fill with tears at times and say, this is really hard. It is hard. And her husband is gone for this life.
Yeah.
But to know God in the midst of that, and to know that he is writing a story that is, and there were things in their extended family that they prayed for years, that they're still, that Tammy is still trusting the Lord to answer even through John's passing. We don't have all the answers. Like, why did God do this? Why did he let this happen? We don't know. Death and disease, cancer, dementia, these were not part of God's original creation. And sin brought them into the world. But we know that God is redeeming this world. He's redeeming our bodies. He's making all things new. Mm-hmm. And so even in the midst of loss, such as John and Tammy have faced, there is gain to come. So that's why another thing we tell each other often is the best is yet to come. In this life or the next, the best is yet to come. So this is a hope that people who don't have Jesus don't have. But so that was one of the sweet moments we had talking with this couple who were trusting God to write their story, even as they were facing death. And we have listeners who either you are facing death or a loved one or a close friend. This COVID thing is coming near to everyone these days. We're all now knowing someone who's somehow being faced with the mortality, the shortness of life. Well, life was always short. We just are being reminded of that now and reminded that if we have Christ, that even in the death is gain.
Exactly.
If for us to live is Christ, then what could death be but unbelievable gain? So it just gives us perspective to say that God is writing the story. And he can be trusted in it, in health and in sickness, in wealth or in deprivation. God is good and he is faithful. Mm. Penny, did I take your story?
No, you didn't. Well, sure. I mean, they're all wonderful, as you said. So here's a fun one, Marty. When I represented Nancy as her agent back in 2003, 2004, there were times when I interfaced with her assistant in the ministry. I didn't know it then, but also a single woman. So Nancy and Sandy worked side by side, worked for many, many years. Sandy, a loyal, precious lady. So in fact, she began to protect Nancy when I stepped into the picture because her job was to protect Nancy from people like me. Right. And so, in fact, I called her the crocodile because she was like in the moat keeping people from the castle. So
protecting the princess, so in other words.
Exactly. And she still is that. So chapter 5 in You Can Trust God to Write Your Story is You Can Trust God When You Long for a Mate. So, of course, Nancy's told you her story. She's 56 years old when we started the date, 57 when we got married. And so, Sandy...
And not longing for a mate.
That's right. But Sandy really had been. And in some ways, because Nancy loved Sandy so much, she almost felt like, this is something that you want, and I really hadn't been looking for them to come along. But Sandy, totally grace-filled woman, and was precious through the whole process. So now we were writing this book, and Nancy spent some time with Sandy, interviewed her about her longings or her desires and so forth. So, Nancy, you've got to finish this story. You do it so much better because you're so close to Sandy. But tell Marty what happened.
Sandy's story is in this book. She's called Cassandra. We used other names. But as this book was going to press, a widowed pastor came into her life. She was 53 years old, never married, had lost both parents years ago. So kind of alone, but just a sweet servant of the Lord. And this widowed pastor came into her life. And that was a whole story of providence. 10 weeks later, from the time they met, they were engaged. And we were making tiny edits. This was happening as the book was going to press. And I finally just said, look, it has to go. I don't know what for sure was going to happen. But the last Thanksgiving,
I think
Sandy,
you said it looks like this is moving or something like that, if I remember. Yeah.
Sandy Basil is now Sandy Chupp, and she trusted God to write her story when she was single, and she's now a Mrs. and trusting God to write her story in her marriage, which isn't to say that if we trust God to write our story, he will give the single woman marriage, or he will give the married couple who are longing for children. He may or may not give them children, but the sweet thing when you trust God to write your story, you don't, your joy isn't determined by how the plot goes or how the script unfolds. Your joy is determined by the confidence that God is good. He is faithful. He is always working for our good and for His glory. And the best is yet to come, whatever that outcome looks like. So our security and our joy are not based on a particular outcome, but on the faithfulness and the goodness and the kindness of God.
That's perfect. Thank you so much, Nancy and Robert. And I'm glad to know the rest of that story, because I noticed that in the book. That is really sweet. Now, some of the people who, we don't know the situations of the people who are listening to this. They could be in any one of the chapters in your book or several of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. I wonder, and because you've shared so much encouragement throughout, in a way you've already answered this, but if you could each give one word of encouragement to that person who's in a difficult place in their marriage, for whatever reason, whether it's health or maybe an unbelieving spouse or a problem marriage, what, just one word of encouragement about their story, what would you say? Robert, I think I'll let you go first.
Wow, so many things come to mind, Marty. One of the things that we have the joy of is God's word. And so God's word is filled with stories, as we've discussed, and the experiences or the opportunities to read of people's accounts of God's kindness and His providence and His will being accomplished. So, when we have had the privilege of signing books for folks, I'll often sign our names and then under it write Romans chapter 11, verses 33-35. And I couldn't do better than this on my own, but the scripture says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given the gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things." So the God's word answers the question that you just asked. And in many ways, it doesn't really matter what I think. It really matters what God thinks. And so my life needs to be lived in alignment with what He knows to be true, what He speaks so clearly in His word, as well as through our stories and our circumstances.
Thank you. Our hope, Marty, I love that scripture, because it's the sovereignty and the bigness and the greatness of God that is what gives, that is what anchors our lives when our little boat is rocking in the storm. My hope is that the title of this book would become something that we all like. We go back to it again and again and again in the different chapters of our stories. I really can trust God to write my story. You, Marty, and your sweet husband really can trust God to write your story. And we say it to each other. We say it to ourselves. We say it to friends. And to know that whatever happens, God is good. God is faithful. God loves us. God is with us. And God can be trusted. So it was one thing for us to say that when Lord was in that sweet courtship, bringing our lives together, and that wonderful surprise twist in our story that made us Mr. and Mrs. Robert Wagamuth. But it's another thing to say it now that we have this melanoma diagnosis, and we don't know where all that's going. It may turn out to be a simple thing, and we get past it. And we've heard many encouraging stories from friends in these recent days who said, that happened to me 12 years ago and I'm doing great. And that could be our story. And we'll thank the Lord if that's true, that He wrote our story that way. But in this new chapter of the story He's writing in our lives, our joy is not dependent on what the outcome is of that surgery. Now, that'll affect our lives for sure, one way or the other. But whatever the outcome of that, I'm just so glad that we've become anchored in this confidence. And we waver in this. Of course we do. There are what we call unauthorized imaginations that come flooding into our heads at times, and the what ifs and the worries and the anxiety. But at the end of the day, as we pillow our heads, we say to each other and we say to the Lord, thank you that you can be trusted to write our story. So it's just a way of thinking about everything. And let me say, by the way, I hope it's okay to say this. It occurred to me that some people may want to read this book for the encouragement and perspective it will find for hope. I understand that Amazon is not shipping any books until May because they're not deemed to be essential right now. So sure. If somebody wants a copy of the book and can't get it that way, their Moody Publishers is making it available through our ministry. It's available at reviveourhearts.com. Or of course on Kindle or the audio version, those are available. But I just hope that people will, that this book will provide this message, just the title itself, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story, that will give hope and perspective and settledness to a lot of people who are in some rocky storms these days.
I believe it will. And of course, it's okay that you would share that. That's the purpose behind the podcast is bringing hope and encouragement. And I truly believe that you're doing that through your book, through your ministry, and then through the words that you've shared with us today. Now, just as you said, Robert, you were the one who said this, that the best thing that you could share would be from the Word of God. And that is so true. There's one more thing that I always like to have my guests share with listeners before we close, and that's a prayer. And I would love it if one or both of you would be willing to pray for our listeners as we close. Could you do that?
I would be happy to do that. I'd be happy to do that.
Thank you so much.
Father, I thank you for Marty, and I thank you for the technology that gives us the chance to have this conversation with men and women around the world. Some who are listening casually, others who are on the edge of their seats because of their circumstances.
Yes.
So we ask that you would be present with them, that they would know of your presence. You are present. Sometimes we feel it and sometimes we don't, but we know that you are. And so we thank you for that assurance. Thank you for my precious Nancy and the joy that you've given us of being Mr. and Mrs. these 4.5 years. Then I also pray for Marty and for Tom and for the challenge that they are facing now with Tom's health. And I pray that in the middle of the night, when Marty is wondering about the future and concerned for her husband's health, that you would be so present and so near, and that your voice would be almost audible, the whisper of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to her, even in the quietness of her heart, that you would reassure her that you, in fact, are writing her story as well. So we thank you for this chance to connect and pray your blessing on Nancy and me and on Marty and Tom, and then the many, many listeners who are eavesdropping on this conversation and hopefully encouraged by the truth of your providence and your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Robert and Nancy, I thank you for taking the time, especially in this time, to speak with us today. And I want you to know that I will, and as soon as they hear it, we will, speaking of our listeners and me, that we will all be praying for you as you go through this next part of your story. Listeners, I want to thank you as well for joining us for another conversation in our Hope for Your Marriage series on Charisma News. I encourage you to look for more episodes as we move forward in this inspiring series.